Some of you have been practicing for a long time. And some of you are quite new to this work. Imagine that we're a group of archaeologists on a mountain, and we're digging for a ruin. And the ruin is the heart. The heart is a ruin in the sense that we may have lived many lifetimes, whether you subscribe to that or not. Sometimes doing good works, sometimes not doing good works. And what we come into this world with is a heart that carries a record of all that. That is our karmic predicament, our inheritance, our legacy. But it need not be that way, because this practice is a purification, a chance to dig up the remains of our misdeeds with the strength of our good acts, kind acts, good speech, gentle speech, lovingness, and generosity over centuries, lifetimes, unknowable. But nevertheless, the work is here and now. So we pay attention breath by breath and moment by moment, not for the sake of just paying attention, but for the sake of understanding more deeply what it is that we have to purify. How can we possibly do that? So every moment, if we're really focusing well, it's like trying to light a candle with a shaky hand. Very difficult. With a shaky mind, with an obstructed mind, how can we? But when the mind grows in stillness, when we can bring it to calm and be highly, sharply, penetratingly aware, then whatever detritus, whatever unnecessary leftovers or rubbish there is lying in the heart, we can remove that little by little. It takes effort, diligence, vigilance, love for the act itself, for the work itself, and practice time. Impatience will not help us in this work. A critical attitude will not help us in this work. Sloppiness will not help us in this work. The Buddha speaks about hindrances, greed, and all those kind of ill wills that blow through us. Hatred, anger, aversion, dislike, grudge, judgment, our likes and our dislikes. Anxiety and restlessness are a subset of this ill will, always going to and fro from liking to disliking, and boredom or dullness of mind and sleepiness, exhaustion, can't pay attention, are a declination of greed. Because we want something, but we're not sure what we want. And we're too tired to bother. And when all of these, or any of these, are functioning, operating, the mind is distracted, totally distracted. We're fighting against distraction. The last hindrance is perhaps the most cruel of all, the most deadly of all. It undermines our practice entirely. It's doubt. Doubt about the approach. Doubt about ourselves. Doubt about the teacher. Doubt about the teaching. Doubt will undermine our ability to start. And if not, if we manage to start, it will convince us that this is no good. Get out now while you can. Go do something better. Doubt is very powerful. If the practice doesn't seem to bear any fruit, the doubt will jump on our backs and really convince us that we're no good, we can't do this. But if we can see doubt for what it is, then we can see it's just a mind moment. It's not true, and it's not what we are. And that's true with all the hindrances. So in a way, we have to be like police, to guard the purity of the mind. We have to watch out for these intruders. If one of them manages to steal in, they're so stealthy, they can hide and suddenly appear and be very powerful and undo our good work. Undo our mindfulness, trip up our ability to be present in this moment. Our paying attention is disrupted. We're thrown off course, and we find it hard to get traction on the path. It's a slippery slope. If we start to remember some beautiful experience that we had, and then we're lost in that, and we can go on thinking about it. Oh, that was so nice. Oh. Distracted. Where are we? Lost in the past. Or caught up thinking about the future. So to protect the mind from the greediness, the ill will, the anxiety and fear, the restlessness, the sleepiness, not interested. Again, our attention has been kidnapped, and we must reinstate, take our rightful seat. This seat is like a throne. If we sit with utter humility, with full, pure, present moment awareness, so that we know exactly where we are here and now, without drifting into the past or the future, without giving way to these mental defilements or impurities, then we can be with our own experience, breath by breath in this moment. Why? For what? Because there's a treasury. We have to dig deep beneath all the rubble and ruin of our life, of our lifetimes, into the depths of this heart to discover the gold that is hidden there. It's only hidden. It's definitely there. If doubt arises, trust. Don't let doubt dissuade you. Time is precious. Don't waste a minute. Stay with it. Be patient. We don't know how much life we have left, not even on a personal level, on a global level. How many people have we seen dying? Life happens unpredictably. So we have this rare gift, rare in this world, to do this kind of work and to pay attention to the mind and stand on guard over this treasure so that these impurities and distracted attention don't evict us out of our seat. Don't talk us into frittering away our time with thoughts or preoccupations. So when these intrusions arrive in consciousness, come back to present moment awareness. Use your meditation object, whether it's the body or the breath, whatever method you've learned, and just keep focusing to help us better see the process of breathing. Because it's so subtle, to better pay attention to it and to use it just like a little boat. Because when the mind settles there, that object will keep the mind afloat above all the distractions that our thoughts will try to hook us with. We can do that scanning the whole body as our object of meditation. Or listening to the sound of silence. It's of great benefit. How can silence have a sound? So you open your ears as if they were two radar dishes. And you receive any sound that touches the ear door. And then hearing consciousness focuses. Now, just see the scope of hearing sound is vast because we have two ears. So it's not that the mind is divided, but that the sense of hearing is bountiful in terms of sense media. It's like you have two devices that can pull sound into the heart. What do we hear? If we listen to the highest pitch, is there some kind of a subtle whining, energetic vibration? That might not work for you, then just go back to the breath. But through that hearing channel, it's possible for us to pay attention easily, whether we're sitting or walking, lying down, standing in line for meals. Hearing consciousness is a great friend. We have to do the work, no matter what the object that we use. Because the thinking mind is really a poison to this practice. And we have the ability to go deep. So to make our attention like a stream, a one-pointed stream inward, not outward, and not through thought, but through the silence of the mind. That's quintessential, a silent mind. And if the mind is twittering, tweaking, rustling, corrupting that silence, then we have to sit up, refocus, and plant ourselves in this present moment as much as we can. That's where we gain the momentum. It's like high-test fuel for this vehicle. And it's a test of our patience. This is against the currents of the world. There is a world. There is a galaxy. There are 10,000 galaxies, a universe in this heart. Young or old, tired or sad, restless or happy. Look within, look inward, and explore. Be a diver. Don't be scared. What there is to find will free us from fear, will free us from anger, will free us from negative mind states, will bestow compassion, unconditioned, universal, forgiveness, seamless, spreading over the entire world. Consciousness, that which knows, is pure. And if we fill it with rubbish, we cannot understand that purity. But through this simple, humble practice, bowing to one moment at a time, and it's a total prostration, giving up the ego. We do not move from ego, but from prostrating, bowing to the present moment, to this purified, rarefied, magnificent awareness that can hold all things equally, choicelessly, joyfully, gratefully, with this chance to free the heart once and for all. Just witness that. Bear witness to that compassionately, fearlessly. The riches are here. Present moment awareness. Sanditiko, akaliko, epasiko. Opanaiko, pachatang, weditapo, winyuhiti. Being present, this truth is waiting for us to discover it. If we go inwards, more and more deeply, going in, to be known individually by the wise. This is our true home. Every other home we might have is conditioned. It's here now. It's burnable. It can disappear. So many reasons. Mudslides, earthquake, tornado, the world. This home of the heart is where the truth abides. And we can enter that space, which is spaceless. It's not a physical space. It's intuitive. It's beyond this world. It's of another dimension. That is where the knowledge presides. It is beyond thought. We cannot think our way in there. There's a beautiful metaphor for this in the Bible, like going through the eye of a needle. Intuitively, to enter into this domain, because we're trying to get in that little tiny entrance where thoughts cannot go. That's a metaphor to teach us a different way of being present through knowing, just pure conscious awareness, witnessing without someone sitting in judgment of the witness or the witnessing. No opinion, just pure knowing consciousness. Knowing, not of this world, not through our senses, but through the most pure knowing awareness. To know things as they truly are is a gift. We're not trying to change them, just know them. We're teaching ourselves how to know so that when the mind is that pure that we can know what is real, we will know it. We will understand, oh, the purification of our life, our life's activity to purify our mental stream, our physical actions, our speech, our choices, purification of the mind. We can direct to purify inwardly. We have to learn how to see again. We think we know how to see, but we can't see. We're in the darkness. But when we begin to see in this purified, rarefied, refined way, what we will see will awaken the wisdom to know, to understand reality. What is absolutely true, unchanging, unconditioned. That is in the heart. So we do the work as best as we can. Not gritting your teeth, but in a gentle way. The way you would water a little bud. For this we need metta. Loving kindness. And to have compassion for ourselves, we can do it. And we need the joy. Therefore, we are here doing this work. To be at home with the wise.